On its way, the march stopped outside Prime Minister Thatcher's residence in Downing Street.
I grew up black. I've been discriminated against all my life. For somebody to discriminate against me because I'm gay is a joke.
People assume that as a feminist, I'm going to do a lot of anti-male humor. I don't really know him that well to make jokes about him.
When people see people who are fearless coming, they get out of the way.
I went back to having mutual oral sex with this man. And then all of a sudden I looked up again and there was this officer standing in my bedroom door.
Where will you be when they come?
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell.
And I'm Greg Gordon. Conservative Croatians counter gender treaty compliance.
Gay Connecticut justice denied top court spot.
And the queer world as it was in 1988.
All that and more this week because you've tuned in to the 30th anniversary edition of This Way Out.
I'm John Dyer V.
And I'm Michelle Yater.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending March 31st, 2018. Thousands of demonstrators in the Croatian capital of Zagreb have protested their country's joining an international treaty intended to protect women from domestic violence. The March 24th demonstration was organized by Croatia's conservative opposition and the Roman Catholic Church, which has a strong influence on the daily life of most of the nation's 4.2 million people. Almost 90% claim membership in the church. Top Croatian clergy issued harsh warnings before the protest, which drew an estimated 10,000 people, asserting that anyone who supports what's known as the Istanbul Convention should no longer be considered a believer. The treaty, which has been signed by 46 nations, as well as the entire European Union, defines gender as the socially constructed roles, behaviors, activities, and attributes that a given society considers appropriate for women and men. Opponents claim that the document introduces a third gender into society and opens the door to marriage equality and expanded legal rights for transgender people. Croatia joined the European Union in 2013, 2 years after the Council of Europe adopted the convention. Even though the center-right coalition government finally approved joining the treaty last week, it has yet to be ratified by Croatia's parliament.
The Republican-dominated Connecticut Senate this week rejected the elevation by Democratic Governor Dan Malloy of current Associate Justice Andrew McDonald to Chief Justice of the state Supreme Court. McDonald would have become the first openly gay state Supreme Court Chief Justice in U.S. history. Malloy charged that McDonald's confirmation failed for political reasons, including McDonald being openly gay. GOP leaders countered that he was rejected in part because he's seen as what they called an activist jurist. Senator Beth Bayh, a Democrat from West Hartford, wondered aloud, however, why McDonald could be considered qualified to be an associate justice, but not chief justice, since each has just one vote on any given case. "That dog just won't hunt," she said. McDonald will remain an Associate Justice of the Connecticut Supreme Court. He has 3 more years left on his 8-year appointment.
A 4-3 decision by the Louisiana Supreme Court this week let stand a lower court ruling that overturned an executive order by the governor that had banned bias against LGBT people in state government. An appeals court decided that the April 2016 edict by Democratic Governor John Bel Edwards was an unconstitutional effort to expand state law. 4 of the High Court justices rejected the case without comment. Of the 3 justices who dissented, 2 indicated that they wanted the High Court to review the case but gave no specific reasons. In her dissent, Chief Justice Burnett J. Johnson argued that the High Court's majority held an unreasonably restrictive view of the governor's authority. She believed the anti-bias order to be within his executive powers. "I am dismayed," she added, "that Louisiana finds itself yet again on the wrong side of history in a matter of civil rights and social justice."
In other news, a screening of the Academy Award-winning Call Me By Your Name has been pulled from the Beijing International Film Festival. The movie's distributor, Sony Pictures Entertainment, announced the action this week without explanation. The film, which won a Best Adapted Screenplay Oscar this year for openly gay screenwriter James Ivory, follows the budding romance between a 17-year-old Jewish-Italian boy and an archaeology student in his mid-20s. The Chinese government seems to have split personalities regarding its attitude toward LGBT people. Private consensual adult same-gender sex has not been against the law since 1997, and homosexuality has not been considered to be a mental illness since 2001. However, same-gender relationships are still a generally unspeakable subject in public. Any media portraying abnormal sexual behaviors, including gratuitous displays of sex, have already been banned by the government. And the Communist Party's propaganda department took complete control of film, news, and publishing in early March. An LGBT conference in China's western city of Chengdu was canceled last year after government authorities reportedly pressured venues into canceling their bookings. The lesbian dating app Rela was also shut down last year. But the Chinese government is said to have a financial stake in Blued, billed as the world's largest online gay male dating site that's especially popular across Asia. Jin Ying, executive director of the Beijing LGBT Center, told Reuters that there is no clear policy on this issue, so we are always confused.
We have follow-ups on a couple of stories we told you about in previous newscasts. A federal judge this week threw out a lawsuit filed by anti-queer activist Chris Sevier, who complained last year about four Democratic members of Congress displaying rainbow flags outside their offices. His lawsuit claimed that homosexuality is a religion and that the flag displays violated the constitutionally mandated separation of church and state. Judge Randolph D. Moss of the U.S. District Court for Washington, D.C., decided that Sevier offered no legal support for his positions and said that the LGBT struggle for equality bears no trappings of religion, as that concept is widely understood. And Sevier has not plausibly alleged that a reasonable person would perceive the display of the rainbow flags as religious in nature.
And a first-ever pride parade was held in Starkville, Mississippi on March 24th. Lawmakers there made headlines for first denying a special event permit for Starkville Pride, and then, after being sued by high-profile attorney Roberta Kaplan, reversing course and issuing the permit. Mayor Lynn Spruill, a supporter of the Pride Parade, told the Associated Press that about 2,500 people marched peacefully, many with rainbow balloons, some on roller skates. Several walked with their dogs behind a sign that read, "Unleash Pride." A single protester picketed the event with a sign that called homosexuality an abomination. The Starkville Daily News proclaimed it the biggest parade in city history.
Another town is planning to host its first-ever LGBT Pride Parade. It's Columbus, Indiana, the hometown of U.S. Vice President Mike Pence. The event is being organized by Erin Bailey as her high school senior project. She told the Huffington Post that just because Pence is known for his unabashed opposition to LGBTQ rights, that doesn't mean that all of us in his hometown are. We want to show our support as an all-inclusive community. The parade is planned for April 14th. A spokeswoman for Pence said that he is heartened to see young people from his hometown getting involved in the political process.
And finally, Pence will need to keep his stiff upper lip. Will & Grace co-creator Max Muchnick announced on Twitter this week that he would be sending copies of A Day in the Life of Marlon Bundo to every elementary school in Indiana. The children's book published by TV humorist John Oliver parodies a children's book by Pence's daughter about the family's pet rabbit. In Oliver's book, Marlon Bundo is gay and meets the male bunny of his dreams.
My name is Marlon Bundo.
My name is Wesley.
A Pence-like stink bug who opposes their desire to get married is the villain of the story. Muchnick wrote to each elementary school in the state, all 1,121 of them, to say that, "I would like to donate this copy of A Day in the Life of Marlon Bundo to your library." He told The Hollywood Reporter that, "If this book can help one boy or girl in Indiana love and accept who they are, I know both Marlon Bundos would be proud, even though one of them is on the down low."
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending March 31st, 2018. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Michelle Yater.
And I'm John Dyer V.
This just in. Queer activists are breathing a sigh of relief following a huge win by Costa Rica's ruling Citizen Action Party in the presidential election runoff on April 1st. Former Labor Minister Carlos Alvarado won by a vote of 61% to 39%. It's a win for the LGBTQ community because the campaign of his opponent, Fabricio Alvarado, no relation, focused almost exclusively on his opposition to a ruling by the Inter-American Court of Human Rights that requires civil marriage to be open to same-gender couples throughout the region. Public opinion polls had called the race a toss-up.
Straight military personnel will have to shower with homosexual.
What do you think goes wrong when people shower with homosexuals? Do you think it's the spray makes it catching? I mean, we don't get ourselves dry cleaned.
Hello, I'm Barney Frank, and you are listening to This Way Out, the international radio show for all our sexually diverse communities.
Do you remember the passage of Clause 28, the AIDS memorial quilt, or what happened after the cops walked into Michael Hardwick's bedroom? If so, you've been following international LGBTQ events as long as This Way Out has, since April 1st, 1988.
Whether that was before your time or not, we think you'll be amazed to hear what the world was like during our first 6 months on the air as we commemorate This Way Out's 30th anniversary.
Earlier this year, Parliament approved Clause 28 in the United Kingdom, which prohibits municipal funding of any group or activity which promotes homosexuality. Over 50,000 demonstrated against Clause 28 in London.
On its way, the march stopped outside Prime Minister Thatcher's residence in Downing Street, where the marchers made their feelings on this new legislation very clear. Bringing a message of solidarity from gay and lesbian brothers and sisters in North America was one of the organizers of the 1987 March on Washington, Robin Tyler.
Are they arresting people? Do I want to arrest all the gays and lesbians in England, guys? You're going to have to arrest millions and millions and millions of people. Yeah. We are everywhere. You cannot take us out.
Perry Watkins entered the Army at age 19 as an openly gay man. During a career that spanned 15 years in the military, Watkins received promotions, security clearances, and excellent job evaluations. He never hid that he was gay. He twice reenlisted. Each time, the Army knew he was homosexual. Yet in 1981, the Pentagon decided that all known homosexuals had to be barred from military service, no matter how exemplary their record. The Army tried to discharge Sergeant Watkins, but Sergeant Watkins took the Army to court. In a seesaw legal battle that so far has lasted 7 years, he has yet to win the right to re-enlist and earn a military pension.
Being black and growing up, looking at it, discrimination is the same. It doesn't matter how you color it, how you paint it. You know, that's why I laugh a lot when people say, well, how can you deal with this, you know, all you've been going through? I grew up black. I've been discriminated against all my life. For somebody to discriminate against me because I'm gay is a joke.
Kay Clinton is a gutsy lady. She left her job as an English teacher at the age of 30 to become not just a stand-up comedian, but an out-of-the-closet lesbian feminist stand-up comedian.
People assume that as a feminist I'm going to do a lot of anti-male humor. I don't really know him that well to make jokes about him.
Now, I think it's time that we have a new feminist TV network. BTL, praise the lesbians. And we'd have some early morning religious music. Oh, give me that old lesbianism. Give me that old lesbianism.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. In a three-day conference this past February, several hundred black lesbians and gay men convened in Los Angeles to discuss the emerging leadership in the black, gay, and lesbian communities throughout the country. Keynote speaker, California Assemblywoman Maxine Waters, challenged the listeners to rid themselves of fear in the face of racism, homophobia, and discrimination.
You're much stronger when you have no fear. You're much stronger when you understand people respect you more when you don't have fear. And you're much stronger when you rid yourself of fear because your natural actions are such that you move like a person without fear. And when people see people who are fearless coming, they get out of the way.
Lavelle Dorsey. Charlie Drucker.
I can't help but walk through those lines and lines and lines of panels and see people that I don't know. And the next thing I know, I'm crying.
On its third stop in the 1988 national tour of 20 American cities, the NAMES Project Quilt, memorializing the tens of thousands of men and women who have fallen victim to the AIDS epidemic, made a stop in Phoenix, Arizona, the weekend of April 16th. Housed in the Phoenix Civic Plaza, the massive quilt, in this case, 61 squares of 32 name panels each, served as a quiet testament to the brothers and sisters, the sons and daughters, the mothers and fathers, and the friends and lovers who have died from AIDS.
These panels come from, you know, shirts and pieces of material or the things that were important to these people. That's what these panels are made out of.
I only wish more people in Phoenix had dared to visit this memorial to a war of apathy, indecision, public indifference, and red tape.
Chicago, city of the big shoulders. Making sense from the cornucopia of Chicago's great restaurant scene was the six-month project of Chicago editors and gastronomes Bill McBride and Jim Lasaki. The project culminated in the production of an astounding collection of recipes from 91 top Chicago eating establishments. The proceeds from the new cookbook benefit Chicago House, a not-for-profit corporation that operates residences for persons with AIDS.
We were walking to restaurants in the hot summertime, and when you walk in on a cook on a Saturday afternoon in a very nice restaurant, you know, and he's back there running his kitchen, and in comes this person through the alley back door, because that's how we learned how you get into kitchens, and that's mm-hmm. where we needed to be. And there were a couple of times where not the nicest things were said, you know, kind of spicy comments.
With hunger pains and an urge to make some dishes dirty, in Chicago, the city of the big hips, I'm Barry Wick.
Three gay University of California, Los Angeles students filed suit against Disneyland for not allowing them to slow dance at the Magic Kingdom on April 11th.
We're fighting for the injunction to show Disneyland as well as other businesses of all kinds that you can't just walk all over somebody's civil rights because they're doing something that you don't particularly agree with.
So we gotta fight back. In large numbers, a fight back. I can't make it alone. Fight back. In large numbers, together, we can make a safe home. Fight back.
I'm Roman Kalinin from Moscow. You are listening to This Way Out,
the showpiece of the homosexual movement in the United States.
Оставайтесь на нашей волне.
Stay on our wavelength.
We're meandering down memory lane through some highlights of our first 6 months on the air with some of the volunteer correspondents who've made This Way Out possible since April 1988.
This was the first time in Canada that a national political figure, or for that matter, a person at the provincial level, did say that he happened to be gay, and so I didn't really know what to expect.
Sten Robinson belongs to the New Democratic Party.
the party that traditionally occupies the left of center in Canadian politics.
There's been a very important national debate. Even the kinds of very, very homophobic attitudes that have been displayed on the part of some, it's not a bad thing to have them exposed. And at the same time, I've just been enormously encouraged by the phone calls, the letters, the telegrams that I've gotten from literally right across the country, every province, every territory, small communities, big cities. It's really been really quite moving.
Initially, I saw the door, it was like partially cracked, and the door opened a bit. I looked up and nobody was there, and I didn't think anything of it. And I went back to having mutual oral sex with this man for about 45 seconds, and then all of a sudden I looked up again, and there was this officer standing in my bedroom door. And I asked him what he was doing there, which seemed like a pretty reasonable question.
Hardwick filed a civil suit at the Federal District Court to challenge the Georgia sodomy statute so that the kinds of intrusions into his bedrooms would cease. Unfortunately, he lost.
Hardwick is a decision that relegates gay men and lesbians to the status of criminals in 25 states in the District of Columbia because of who we love.
Oklahoma, crime against nature, 10 years. Rhode Island, crime against nature, 7 years minimum.
We want the Supreme Court out of our bedrooms. We want the government and police out of our bedrooms. We want the rights that all Americans want, including the most fundamental and basic of all rights, which is the right to be left alone.
Ain't no court supreme enough. Ain't no court supreme enough. Ain't no court supreme enough to keep me from my dreams. Ain't no court supreme enough.
No, no.
Ain't no court supreme enough. Ain't no court
no
supreme
way
enough to keep me from my dreams.
All the queers want equal rights, so should we have queers as cops?
They're out of their head.
They are. Wrong. I think it's stupid.
Yeah, if they want to do their thing, let them go someplace else.
They want us to do what they want. We don't want to do that.
They like for people to be gay.
The way they're dressing, the way they're waving their arms at you.
Why don't you do things the way God made us to do it? Is your mother and father a lesbian?
I know. God does not want two girls and two guys doing what half these people here are doing. They need help. Any person who is gay is sick.
My sweet Sherry, how long will you run? No hiding place over there, over there.
Where will you be when they come? They will not come, a mob rolling through the streets, but quickly and quietly move into our homes to remove the evil, the queerness, the faggotry from their midst. They will not come clothed in brown and swastikas or bearing chests heavy with gleaming crosses. The time and need for such ruses are over. They will come in business suits to buy your homes and bring bodies to fill your jobs. They will come in robes to rehabilitate and white coats to subjugate. And where will you be when they come? Where will we all be when they come? And they will come. They will come because we are defined as opposite, perverse, and we are perverse. Every time we watched a queer hassled in the streets and said nothing, it was an act of perversion. Every time we lied about the boyfriend or girlfriend at coffee break, it was an act of perversion. Every time we heard, "I don't mind gays, but why must they be blatant?" and said nothing, it was an act of perversion. Every time we let a lesbian mother lose her child and did not fill the courtrooms, it was an act of perversion. Every time we let straights make out in our bars while we couldn't touch because of the laws, it was an act of perversion. Every time we let straight relatives bury our dead and push our lovers away, it was an act of perversion. And they will come for the perverts. And it won't matter if you're homosexual, not a faggot, lesbian, not a dyke, gay, not queer. It won't matter if you own your own business, have a good job, or an SSI. It won't matter if you're black, Chicano, Native American, Asian, or white. It won't matter if you're from New York or Los Angeles, Galveston, or Sioux Falls. It won't matter if you're butch or femme, not into roles, monogamous, non-monogamous. It won't matter if you're Catholic, Baptist, atheist, Jewish, or MCC. They will come. They will come to the cities and to the land, to your front rooms and in your closets. They will come for the perverts. And where will you be when they come?
You've been listening to highlights from This Way Out's first 6 months on the air in 1988. Clause 28 and the Hardwick decision both went down to defeat in 2003.
Sergeant Perry Watkins won reinstatement in the Army in 1990, but died of AIDS in 1996.
Former British Columbia MP Sven Robinson now works for the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria.
Poet Pat Parker died of breast cancer in 1989.
Disneyland's popular Gay Days remain unofficial, but 2018 marks the 28th annual Gay Day at Disney World.
Humorist Kate Clinton is on a digital sabbatical this year while keeping her hand in politics.
And Congresswoman Maxine Waters, musician Mary Watkins, and This Way Out are still going strong.
This Way Out's 30th anniversary bash continues throughout the month of April.
I think I'll take a moment to celebrate my age, the ending of an era and the turning of a page. Now it's time to focus in on where I go from here. Lord, have mercy on my next 30 years.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Program material this week came from John Dyer V and Michelle Yeager, with thanks to Steve Pride. Our 6 months correspondents included Tim Richardson, Robin McCall, Anthony Price, Christopher McPherson, Barry Wick, Andrew Ross Exler, Rob Atkinson, Alan Ross, and John Zay.
Teresa Troll, Bob Marley, Reflex, Holly Neer, Diana Ross, The Bobby Fuller Four, Janice Lieber and Chopped Liver Productions, Mary Watkins,
and Tim McGraw
performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music.
This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our individual listener donors, who make this program possible.
ThisWayOut.org has a fresh new look in celebration of our 30th anniversary, so come by and join the party.
Look for This Way Out Radio on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Google+. Smile at Overnight Productions on Amazon. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA.
For everyone at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell.
And I'm Greg Gordon.
We thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org
and on WWUH West Hartford, Connecticut,
Wild Planet Radio, Portland, Oregon,
5CST Southwest Adelaide, South Australia,
and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station.
Do stay tuned
for our next 30 years.